Roll up, ladies and gentlemen, to the greatest podcast on earth. Step right up and experience the magnificence that is the Two Ring Circus Podcast. You'll gasp. You'll laugh. And you'll be amazed at what comes next.
Amazing.
Don't worry about the smell. It's just the stars of our show, Tom Italiano.
Hi.
And Matt Bradshaw.
Hey.
Welcome.
We've started. There's a foolproof plan.
Oh, brilliant.
Oh, funny. Hi, Matt.
Hello, mate.
Welcome to Angela's.
Angela's Ashes Tavern. I've never seen Angela's Ashes.
I've never read it.
Oh.
That's why God.
Is that what you mean?
That's why God made the movie.
Is that why God made the movie?
Yep. Yeah, what's it about? I'm assuming you have seen it, otherwise you're just going to make up a plot, aren't you?
I was about to make up a plot. about a young boy and his mother who lived at a crematorium and died there. But
oh no, okay, so wait.
What's going on? What's going on? What's going on?
So this week my cat is going in for radioactive iodine treatment.
Whoa.
To fix her hyperthyroidism. Which has manifested in her being very thirsty and very hungry.
Wowza.
Yeah, so like I noticed she was drinking heaps, and that was the first kind of warning thing anyway, so it turns out that's what it is. So she has to go to a lead-lined room in a veterinary surgery for a week, have no contact with anyone.
How big's the room?
I don't know. They've got a light in there that they turn on for 12 hours and off for 12 hours, so she thinks it's night and day.
Wow.
They're allowed to, like, they literally can go in there to throw some food in, give her some clean litter, and then run away again because she's totally radioactive.
Wow.
For a week.
I don't think it should be 12 hours.
Well, I don't think so either, but anyway. Yeah. Anyway. But the point being about Angela's ashes, we might come back to my cat because I'm quite perturbed about it, but then we've only got a short episode because we've got to go to work, so maybe I won't. Maybe I'll tell you about it next week after she's been treated.
Okay.
He said, look, you know, full disclosure, this is the vet, and he's a lovely fella. Full disclosure, we've not ever had any troubles, but, you know, there can be issues, and heaven forbid she dies during the week. We have to freeze her for 3 months because she's still radioactive.
Yeah.
And then cremate her, and you get, wow, if your cat's name was Angela, you'd get the result in a box. But yeah,
so
but even then,
radio,
not for 3 months. So I wouldn't be allowed to, not that I would want to, I've never been to an open casket funeral even, but wouldn't be able to see her. Catskit.
So she'll be radio captive for a week, and after that she'll be radio captive.
Oh shit. Anyway. Yeah, yeah, so she goes in on Monday and they kind of I guess habitualise her to her surroundings for 24 hours. And then
poor little dude.
10:30 on Tuesday morning they pop the capsule down her throat and they hope she doesn't throw up, and they give her an antihemetic so she doesn't vomit.
Wow.
Yeah, then they keep her for a week, and I go and pick her up the following.
Well, what?
Wednesday, I presume.
Is she unradioactive after that?
No, then she's only allowed 30 minutes contact a day with me for the next week.
Oh my lord!
Yeah,
where's she going to sleep,
dude? I guess I'm just going to close my bedroom door,
yeah,
so she can't sleep in the
room. Oh, I thought you meant so she can get out. You sleep on the couch.
Oh fuck! I wrote to a friend of ours yesterday and said, I'm genuinely not sure how she'll deal. And of course, she wrote back and said, I'm genuinely not sure how you'll deal.
Oh, that's true.
But she's really social. And she's never been away from home. She's either lived in the house you and I lived in,
yeah,
or she's lived in my house. And even if I've been away, there's always been someone who's come in to see her every day and make sure she's all right and to have a chat with her and stuff. She's never been in a cattery. She's never been... I know it is what it is. Fuck. I'm really... Yes. Quite upset about it. But there are other things I'm upset about.
Are there?
How about our mate Reese?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's pretty full on. So Reese has been diagnosed with thyroid cancer.
Yeah.
And which is partially in the lymph gland as well.
Yeah.
You've spoken to him. I haven't.
Well, I wouldn't have spoken about it out loud, except that
he
posted about it yesterday for the first time now that he's actually got a surgery date.
Yeah.
So
for anyone, I guess we know that it manifested. So Reese is incredible guitar player and singer, plays in the band with you.
Yep.
And owns. But has had voice issues for
8 or 9 months.
I was going to say 6 before Christmas. And so went to a voice doctor and got told to do some resting, I guess. But obviously it hasn't got better, so went to see someone else. And so I guess...
They just kept trying to diagnose... Because he was losing range and his voice was husky. And he sings all the time.
And talks because he's a teacher.
And talks because he owns a music school. So... And has 2 kids. So he talks all the time. So it's hardly unusual that he would have voice tiredness or issues with his voice that would manifest in it being less usable and kind of husky. But went to the first voice specialist who said, my equipment's not powerful enough to actually see what's going on, but I think you just need rest. This is kind of the timeline. Mm. And then didn't get any better. And went and got a gastroscopy when they looked down there to see if... Because the next thing that affects singers is reflux.
Yeah.
Couldn't see anything wrong, but they could see it was kind of red and inflamed. And then went to the Melbourne Voice Analysis Centre, where I've been a couple of times when I've had voice stuff. So I spoke with Debbie Farland, the speech pathologist, and Neil Valance, who's just the guy. He said, we can see what's happening. Like, one of your vocal folds is... paralyzed. They didn't know why, but anyway, immediately got on the phone to his mate, who happens to be the specialist in dealing with all this sort of stuff. And so after first speaking to a voice person in November, it's taken till about a month ago, in fact not even, to get diagnosed with actual thyroid cancer. So
yeah, it's pretty full on, I guess.
It's really full on.
It's interesting how that, you know, one issue, I mean, the symptoms suggest that it's this, that, or the other, and you just don't naturally think to look for those things. And even, you know, specialists don't think to.
And he's young.
Yeah.
Cancer can affect anyone, but it's not your go-to, and especially if you're not someone who uses your voice all the time and it's a bit husky.
Yeah.
All the time my voice has been husky. Like, it's just not the sort of thing... Lie down with dogs. My voice is a bit husky.
Oh, it's good.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah,
I got fleas.
Fleas.
Good. I just had to take the edge off.
Yeah, I think. Look, I know quite a few people in my life, even peripherally at the moment, who have been diagnosed with certain things, and. Certain things like autoimmune disease and whatnot, and one of the key takeaways from that is, for me, is whenever you've got an issue, don't delay on it.
No.
And also, like, at any point in your life, have a regular check-in with yourself about how you're living, because there's just so many people I know who the perception of what health is is really out of whack with what health is.
I mean, I guess, like everything, we kind of live our day-to-day existence, and your baseline for how you feel is how you feel, and changes can often happen incrementally as well.
They all do.
So you just Yeah. I mean, you know, Reese has the advantage that he's not a massive drinker. He's never smoked. You know, like, it's all kind of good, positive stuff from that perspective.
Yeah, I think, though, I mean, like, you know, basically, your body's totally reactive to what goes into it as well. Like, you know, you can... I'm not suggesting that, you know, the cause of Reese's current problem is because he eats this or drinks that, right? But the cause of most people's problems are what they eat and drink.
I don't know, man. My dad had bowel cancer 3 years ago, and he's as fit a man as I've known, and he's had my mum cooking for him forever, and that's
true.
She's a magnificent and health conscious cook and all
sure,
that.
Sure, but people, that's my point. It's like, people think they're healthy, and are they? Like, it's like, and people think that other people are healthy, and are they? Because, like, certain, like, it's a very, very complex chemical process putting food in your body, and we think we know, particularly average everyday people who are not experts in food and health. I'm not an expert in food and health, right? I'm not saying that I am, but I'm just saying that that's my point. We just do what we think we know is right, and it's like people, it's like, you know, people drink cow's milk. It's like, you know, so many people have cured issues in their life by not drinking cow's milk. It's like, but we're told all ours that drinking milk's fine.
Sure.
Calcium's good. You get calcium out of milk. So yeah, you do, but you also get other things out of milk, and maybe
that calcium.
Yeah.
Calcium.
I didn't think say calcium.
Okay.
I think my point is like, everybody has an idea of what they think is healthy or not. I remember having a conversation with my ex-girlfriend. It's like, you know, well, you know, I eat this and I'm healthy. It's like, yeah, that's 70% of your diet is healthy, but that doesn't mean it fixes the 30% of your diet that's not healthy. That 30% is still going to cause you problems. And the good food you have, food doesn't work necessarily like it counterbalances the bad shit you have. If you have bad stuff, right, it's still going to have an effect on you. So all I'm saying there is, we all have an idea of whether or not we do good things or bad things or whatever. But I'm saying that it's important to continually assess that and become more educated and be honest also about what you're having. Because, you know, a glass of orange juice every 3 days is terrible for you. It's terrible for you. Just like a glass of Coke, because what it does for a 48-hour cycle for your body is not good. And it's like, oh, I only have a little bit of this. It's like, yeah, but that little bit causes a whole bunch of problems that even if the rest of your diet's fucking perfect, that bit can cause you problems. It's a very complex system. So I'm not saying that, you know, with Reese's situation that, you know, I know anything about it and I'm an expert. I'm just saying, I think it's a reminder to be vigilant about that stuff. Because a lot of people can make some really positive changes to help alleviate possibly getting something.
Okay. My view of it's a bit simpler than yours. I think just cancer's a really shit lottery.
Yeah, I mean, that's what a lot of people think, but the reality is what you put in your body has a metabolic effect, and your body has to work out how to deal with everything you put in your body. And some things are good for your body, and some things aren't. Like, you know, basically, you know, 80% of the supermarket is manufactured food; it's not natural food. And there's a legitimate question of whether those aisles are worth walking down. Yes, they taste good, and yes, we have an idea, and I think a foolish idea, that food should be pleasurable, right? But that's a modern idea. That's a very modern idea. It's not something that humans have. I mean, up until very recently, food was hard to get. Like, we spent all day every day trying to get enough nourishment, and you ate fruit once for a week a year when it was in season. You didn't eat. And now we can have fruit all day, every day. Should we be eating fruit? This idea of you should have fruit and vegetables? Well, most of us come genetically from a part of the world that didn't have fruit all year round. So should we be eating it? You know, is that excess, even though it's natural sugar, is that sugar that you can have all day, every day, even if it's natural, is that good for you? This is a really good question of, no, it's not. So I think I understand what
you
mean.
I should be all right then. I'm a vegetarian who doesn't eat fruit.
That's true. You don't eat fruit, but there may be other things in your diet that you do eat that you think, oh, well, I don't eat that, and I don't eat that, and I don't eat that.
Are you suggesting that chocolate and chips aren't enough to live on?
No, I think you can live off it. And
that's good.
That's what's interesting about it. It's like, stuff doesn't, like, you don't just eat, you just smoke a cigarette, for example, and get lung cancer. Like, it takes a long time. And so these metabolic diseases that people are getting, and heart disease and things like that, it's very hard to pin down what it is that's causing them, because they don't appear in, well, they actually are appearing more and more like fatty liver disease in children, because we're giving them a certain diet from the time they're very, very young. But I think that, I do think there's that thing of, like, you can live off chocolate and chips, right? But eventually, things are gonna, because I can say, like, I was talking to my dad and my mum today about it, and I said, like, when I, in 2011, I came this close to committing suicide, and that was at the peak of my unhealthiness. I wasn't clearly an alcoholic, but I drank every day, and 4 days of the week it was in excess, right? I ate chocolate for breakfast, soft drinks to swill them down. I was so terribly unhealthy, and I'm not saying that the terrible unhealthy diet caused my experiences with depression and my destructive behavior, but incidentally, when I made drastic changes to how I consumed food and drink, I didn't feel the same way and I didn't behave the same way. Now, that's not a smoking gun like argument, but it is suggestive that maybe if you are conscious about what you eat, when you eat it, and what you, and also what you don't have, then you can alleviate issues in your life and perhaps avoid them completely. And so, yes, you can live off those things, and I'm proof of it, right?
But I thought you were giving me permission.
No, I am.
Thanks,
you
man.
Can do it. I'm not saying that, you know, it's your
you.
Life,
you really
and that's it. But that's the thing, isn't it? Like, we, you know, the idea of mandating against food, there would be absolute uproar about it. But we know very, very clearly from all the like observations of what people eat and drink is, like, don't do that. That will lead to problems. So I think, you know, I think when your mate who's, you know, at an age that shouldn't be getting, that you have this idea that that's young to get that kind of illness, and you kind of go, well, you know, I'm not pointing a finger at him going, well, that's 100% got to do with how you live and what you put in your body, but it makes you think of, what can I do to, can I do anything to prevent me getting
sure.
anything like that? And that whole thing, you know, you hear about, you know, everything in moderation. It's just not true. I just don't believe that that's true. Silence in the podcast.
These TVs opposite us are Toyota brand.
As in, like, small Star Wars figures?
Oh, fuck. What? Yes.
Are they Toyota brand?
Yeah, Toyota. Yeah.
Wow. I wasn't looking. I wasn't trying to. I was concentrating on my not raising my voice, even though I was definitely ranting. Was I raving? No, I wasn't raving.
No.
I was definitely ranting.
Yes.
Yeah. Apologies.
We need to go to work. It's been a sobering episode. I'm feeling energized to go and sing some lovely, happy songs.
Good.
Felt like you and I could have had a fight then.
We've got the rest of the afternoon to,
no,
to have
that's
a fight.
The point. We have not. our friends from Perth have come to visit, which is cute.
Cool.
Little Monty. So they just showed me a picture of Monty at the Sunday gig at the Doodagala that I do from when she was 11 days old.
Oh, wow.
And out for her first time at the pub and me holding her. And my hair is a peculiar colour.
You do have very transitory hairstyles.
Yeah, but
colours.
This is like kind of... It's clearly it's bleached, but it's quite long. But it also looks kind of green-ish.
Well, Instagram will
like
do that.
Like faded filters. Aqua.
Yeah.
I think just my hair's filtered. I don't know if the...
That venue does have, you know, spotlighting that...
maybe it's that then.
That may have affected that. I wouldn't be too concerned.
It's only the hair that looks like it. Oh, I'm not overly concerned. But I still own the shirt that I'm wearing in the photo.
Well, that's good. Well, I own so many clothes from that when I
oh, dude.
No, but like I threw out from when I got healthy and I lost all that weight. I threw out everything that didn't fit me because, like, you know, when you lose 25 kilos, you have to replace your entire wardrobe. Mm. And I still wear. Now I have this like this point in my wardrobe where it's like all of this is new and all of this I haven't worn. Like, and it's like, it's maybe there's that much clothing from when I lost a lot of weight. I still have because it's like sentimental value. Like, my sister gave me, you know, that rainbow knitted jumper. I don't know why my sister gave it to me when I was 21. And like, I always kept it. And now it fits me again because I'm like the same size I was when I was 21. But like, for years, I couldn't even put it on. It was like, I couldn't wear it. Oh, so I've still got clothes from 15, 16 years ago that fit me again, and I have this little gap in my wardrobe now, which...
It's lucky you and I are such dedicated followers of fashion that we can keep our clothes for so long.
I wouldn't know what fashion was.
Sure you would.
Yeah.
We're about to play at the Angler's Tavern.
I can tell you what.
All the time, boys wearing really long t-shirts and jeans with elasticated cuffs.
Well, yeah, that's why I don't know
like
what fashion
they're
is.
4 years old.
Because I wore some flares on Thursday night. I still have two pairs of 502 Levi's, which have like a flare leg, and I kind of made the joke when I was sitting on stage, like, do you guys like my flares? They fit me again for the first time in ever. But the problem is, because of the size of my waist, like, I should be an extra foot taller, so I had to cut the real flary bit off my jeans. So it just kind of looks like I'm wearing bootcut jeans, but I know they're flares. Yeah.
Oh, it's a cute 70s throwback.
Flaries.
Yeah. All right, let's go to work.
All right, mate. Well, hopefully this new contraption worked. And
I like hopefully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm all about hopefully.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Thanks for this.
All right. See ya.
Yeah, we'll see you next time.